good to be here this morning, even though it's a little rainy, a little cold.
Maybe you could think for a moment that it's hot in Fiji right now. And it's a beautiful place that God has created, and we're thankful to be there. We've been there for about 5 years, and if you haven't got one of our prayer cards, make sure you get one. Some of you have probably gotten our old prayer card, and this is the new and updated version, right? So we have 4 boys and 2 girls, and we've been traveling since June of this year. We've traveled about 13,000 miles. So my family is thankful to get a little rest here before the end of the year. And Scott Jeffrey, he likes to get away from his siblings a little bit, have a little rest away from them. But I just want to ask you this morning, do you believe in prayer? Say amen if you do. I just want to say that prayer is so important for a Christian and for missions. Because missions, or God's work, even Hanover Baptist Church this morning, it's spiritual warfare. Amen? It's spiritual warfare. And Ephesians 6 tells us what? Praying always. Praying always. We're told to pray without ceasing. Amen? And, you know, I'm not saying that I'm a perfect prayer warrior, that I pray as much as I should. But it's very important to understand that the work of missions is a battle. It's a fight. And the Bible teaches us that we are to be good soldiers of what? Jesus Christ. And people have said to me, I can't do anything for you. I can't give you a lot of money. I can't give you a lot of this. They say, all we can do for you is pray for you. But you know what I want to say? That's the best thing you can do for us. Amen? That's the best thing you can do for us. On the back of our prayer card, you'll see a man who's sitting all the way on the right. He's sitting with his grandfather. His name is Jerome. And when I first met Jerome, he didn't want to come to any of our Bible studies. He didn't want to be involved. He kept making excuse after excuse. And then one day he came. And now he is saved. He is baptized, of course, and he has surrendered to full-time Christian service. And it took him, his wife, about 6 months later, she got saved. And one day she closed her Bible after she was saved, and she says, I'm ready to serve the Lord. And Jerome says, what? You ready for what? She says, I'm ready to serve the Lord. Amen? And I tell you that story because that's because you've prayed. He grew up in a Methodist home, but now he's a Christian. And then on the other side, you'll see William with the hat on. And William grew up a Muslim. William grew up and he had 2 moms. His dad had 2 wives. And he was suicidal. He was depressed. And one day, God brought him to our church. And he became a Christian. And today, he's living for the Lord. That was a picture when we were passing out tracts and inviting people to church. And so that is a direct result of your prayers. I want you to turn your Bibles, if you would, to Luke chapter, or Colossians chapter 2, and then also Luke chapter 16. Just want to say this morning that we have a lot to be thankful for, amen? The Bible says, in everything give what? Thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is
good.
God is so good. God is so good. In Samoan, we were there in 2009, we learned this song, Elelelea Tua, God is good. And then, of course, people will say, God is good all the time. No doubt about it. God is good. I just want to say quickly this morning, I'm thankful for God's protection and God's watch care over us. Traveling all these thousands of miles, I'm just thankful we haven't had any accidents. I'm thankful that we haven't had any serious conditions. And I was sharing with the men this morning, we had a hurricane in 2016. And it was 180-mile-an-hour winds hit the islands. And 45 people lost their lives. I'm thankful for God's protection. In the last 4 years, we've had... my wife has been in the hospital several times. She had cellulitis. If you know what that is, it kind of starts on one part of your leg and goes through the rest of your leg. It's very strong, can spread, very serious condition. We're thankful that she was able to go through that. And of course, she cut her hand back in April. We're thankful that she got that taken care of. All kinds of things. I'm thankful that God protects us. Amen. And I'm also thankful that for God's presence. Amen. God's presence. You know, we have a God who never leaves us nor forsakes us. Amen. He never forgets us. He never goes astray. He never lies to us. Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 1 says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, they shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee." We have a lot to be thankful for today, amen? You know what else I'm thankful for today? This right here, the Word of God. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Of course, we know the word quick means that it's alive. You know, as a missionary, I've been a missionary for a long time. As a little kid, I was 8 years old. We went to the country of Singapore, Australia, and then I went to Fiji as a missionary kid when I was 15. And of course, as an adult, I've been a missionary since 2005. But you know what? We don't have to make anything up. It's all right here in the Word of God. We live in a changing world, but this is an unchanging Word. I'm thankful for God's Word today. I'm thankful for God's promises today, that His Word will not return void. But look what it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8. You know, we understand today that we live in the world, but we're not to be of the world. And we're bombarded with so much philosophies that are not from the Bible. We have to be Bible Christians. We have to have the mind of Christ. We have to be followers of Christ, not just in our actions, but in our minds, in our thoughts. We have to understand that this is a world that doesn't love God. This is a world that has rejected God. And oftentimes we come back to America, and my children, they, especially my oldest, they see a lot of things. And they'll say, "Why aren't Christians doing this? If they're Christians..." And I said to my son, I said, "Well, you're right. You're right." It's amazing what children come up with and what they say. And the problem is we are not thinking biblically. We are thinking humanistically. We are thinking like the world. Listen, it hasn't changed. We're all still sinners in need of a Savior. Amen? And if we're Christians today, we need the Lord more and more. Amen? I don't care how many smartphones we have. I don't care how many digital, technological, whatever we have. I don't care what we have. We need God. And it's interesting, but many people around the world look to America as the big brother, as you will, for Christianity. Well, what are the churches in America doing? What's their emphasis? What are they preaching? What are they doing? They're looking to America. What does the Bible say here in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 8? I like this first word, beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. It says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Do you love Jesus today? He loves you. Amen? I told my son, you know, when it's just me and him, we have more time to talk, of course. I said, "Listen, son," I says, "one day you're going to have a decision to make. Are you going to follow Christ or are you going to follow others? So which one should you follow? He's like, oh, we got to follow God. No doubt about it. Got to follow Christ. Amen. Who are we following? Let me ask you this. Why are you here today? The times I've been in the ministry, I'll joke and I say, well, people are in church because they know if they aren't, they'll get a call or a text message from the pastor. How you doing? Everything okay? We missed you on Sunday. Why are we here today? Because we got nothing better to do? We're here today for the Lord. Amen. We're here today because He loves us. We're here today because He's commanded us. We're here today to fellowship. We're here today to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Amen. Why are we going around the world? Because we're commanded to preach the gospel. Amen. It's not a gray area. It's black and white. It's not up for debate. It's not, let's sit around and talk about this. Let's have a committee meeting. What do you think? Is this the Bible or is this not the Bible? Listen, it's done and settled. Amen? Look in Isaiah chapter 57. Hold your place there in Luke chapter number 16. We understand that Christians have decided that they're going to call the shots for their lives and how they're going to live. We see, even my wife and I have family that things have happened in the past in their lives and it's taken them away from God. Listen, it's not time to draw ourselves away from God. We are to draw closer to the Lord. Jesus is coming back. Amen. Jesus says, I will come again. People say, well, when's Jesus coming back? I say, I don't know. But I know we're closer today than we were yesterday. Every day we're getting closer. What's He going to find us doing? I guarantee you, if we're following the tradition of men, if we're following the philosophy of the world, if we're not in the Word of God, if we're not studying the Word of God, if we aren't busy about what God wants us to do, He's not going to find us doing what He wants us to do. Amen? Look what the Bible says in, Isaiah 57, verse 15. Isaiah 57, verse 15. I understand that there's a word here that's important for us to look at. Verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Do we understand today this one word? And that word is eternity. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth what? Eternity. There's a story about a man who stood on a cruise ship, and when he was on that cruise ship, another man walked up to him and handed him a gospel tract. The man looked at it, turned it over, and took it and tore it up into many little pieces. And he had it in his hand, and he threw it back at the man who had just given it to him. And he walked off in disgust, in anger, walked back to his room on the cruise ship, and took off his coat. And on his coat, he saw a little piece of paper. And guess what? That little piece of paper had one word on it. The word was God. He turned that paper over, and there was another word on it. The word was eternity. And he went and he found that man on the ship, and he said, can you tell me about God? Can you tell me about eternity? And even in this humanistic world in which we live, people still have a heart that needs God. Amen? Australia is not exactly the Bible Belt. If you ever go there and you hand somebody a gospel tract and you said, if you die there, you go to heaven, they'll give you this response of, she'll be right, mate. She'll be right, mate. I'll be all right, mate. No worries. In 1999, before the year 2000, around the time of 2000, when they told us that the world was going to end and all that, everything was going to shut down, remember that? Across the Harbour Bridge in Sydney was a word, eternity. If you went all the way back to 1930, there was a man named Arthur Stacy. Arthur Stacy was an alcoholic. Got saved in a revival meeting. Went to a men's meeting, was heard about the living for God and doing what you can for God. And one day in that men's meeting, he felt in the back of his pocket a piece of chalk. He went around the city of Sydney and he said to himself, "What can I do for God?" He took that piece of chalk and anywhere he could, on sidewalks and driveways, wherever, he wrote that word eternity. And thousands and hundreds of thousands of people saw it. It even made it to the newspaper. They called him the mystery man, Mr. Eternity. And one day his pastor was in hospital visitation. He walked out and there he saw Arthur writing eternity. He said, "Arthur, it's you! You're Mr. Eternity!" And he said, Arthur put his head down. He said, "Pastor, I don't have a good education." He said, "I'm not a good speaker." He said, "All I wanted to do is something for God."
Amen.
Amen? Look at Luke chapter number 16, if you would. Do you understand today that the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter number 9, verse 27, "And as is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment"? You know what's wrong with me today? You know what's wrong with us today? When you're a parent, you see this very quickly. We're selfish. We're selfish. My kids will say, "My toys," or "My clothes," or my. You see, there's a world out there where people are dying. I drive around America thousands and thousands of miles, and every time I go by a road and I see oftentimes a church, and sometimes behind it is a cemetery. What happened to all those people for all eternity? At my wife's home church in New Jersey, within the last 12 months, they've had probably 10 to 15 people die. Just 2 days, one lady in the church passed away. What's my greatest possession today? It's not my car, it's not my phone, not my house. It's eternal life. Amen? I can go to a foreign country. I can go to a foreign place. I can go to a city. I can go to a hospital bed. I can sit next to someone and say, "Listen, the greatest book ever written was the Word of God. And God tells you, for He gave His only begotten Son. He loves you. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Look what it says in Luke chapter number 16 and verse number 22. It says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." Verse 25, "But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." The word eternity is not here. We don't see it. But we do see these two words, verse 25 again. "But now." How long am I going to live? I don't know. How long are you going to live? We don't know. My grandfather will be 96 years old in February. I said, "How you doing, Grandpa?" He said, "Pretty good for an old man." My kids are praying he'll hit 100. It's very possible he will. But you know what? This life is a drop in the bucket compared to all eternity. Amen? People who die and go to hell today will be separated from the Lord for all eternity. This is the only chance they have to be saved. Today is the day of salvation. Amen? We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know how long we're going to live. It amazes me that in America we have a gift. We have a wonderful opportunity that if you and I need help, we can pick up our phone and dial 911, and the police, the ambulance, and the fire, they're there within minutes. Praise God for them. I saw many of them yesterday on the road. But you know what? Their greatest need is not an ambulance. Their greatest need is salvation. Amen? I've spoken with multiple people at hospitals and said, listen, your broken leg or your diabetes or your heart condition, it's a problem. But your greatest need is salvation. Your greatest need is Christ. You see, we live in a world that covers up the reality of death. In America, we have funeral homes. We don't have funeral homes in Fiji, where the person is taken away as soon as they pass away and they're doctored up professionally so that no one sees the true reality of death. Job 18:14 calls death the king of terrors. I remember one of the first times I went to a funeral in Fiji. It's all outside. They have a big shed that they put up with pieces of tin and poles. And everybody sits on the floor and they bring the body and put it right in front of everybody. And the mother and the brother and the sister are all sitting there crying and wailing because they have no hope. How can I sit back and just forget about people who have no hope? We have the hope of Christ. We have the hope of God. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with this hope of eternity that God has given to us? Robert Murray McShane says, when you're going to preach, preach for eternity. Preach for eternity. Let me give you a couple of thoughts this morning that we've done. Number one, first one is everyone. Everyone. You understand everyone will die? It's a universal reality that every day, at every moment of the day, and every second, perhaps every moment, someone is dying. Number two is two places, heaven or hell. Of course, we already read about hell in Luke chapter number 16, about the rich man cried out for mercy. He cried out for a drop of water to cool his tongue. But then Jesus tells us in John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. This world is not our home. Amen?
Amen.
We're just passing through. I just prayed with a man up in Pennsylvania who was having surgery about a week ago. And I said, boy, I'm so glad that we won't be in this world forever. Amen? This is not my world. This is not my home forever. Jesus is preparing a place. So you got everyone. Then you got two places. And then you have eternal or everlasting. Jesus tells us in Mark chapter number 9, verse 44, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The Bible says the worm dieth not. I think to myself today, Fiji is about a country of about 1 million people. Every one of them is going to die and be in eternity, separated from the Lord forever. The fire is not quenched, the Bible tells us. But then I also think of the word reigneth. I think of Revelation chapter 19, verse number 6. It says, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Hey, listen, we're on the winning side tonight. We're on the winning side tonight. There is a judge. God is the judge. And every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know, my kids, of course, they come back to America and they pick up everything. They've picked up so-called Christians taking God's name in vain. And I just scratch my head saying, wow. That's how much God means to you? And it's not the religious work of not breaking the Ten Commandments. Of course, we know that's wrong to do. Is that how you think of God? Why do we do that? Why do Christians do that? Because the world does. People text all the FYI and all LOL and all those things. I've seen Christians text OMG. Excuse me? See how we've brought God down? We got brought down in our minds. We've brought God down in our lives. Oh, it doesn't matter if I miss church. It doesn't matter if I don't read my Bible. It doesn't matter if I don't pray. It does. It does. Isaiah chapter number 6 talks about how we saw the Lord high, holy, and lifted up. Amen. We just read Isaiah. He talked about how he inhabiteth eternity. Amen. Where's God? Yes, he's in heaven. But he's everywhere. I can go to Fiji and he's there. I can go to Africa and he's there. He rules and he reigns. And I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. Amen? But then I also think of this letter, number 5, as the word nothing. One of my favorite songs is, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." We have a song that we sing with the kids, and it folds out to a cross, and it's got the black and the red and the white. And of course the song says, "What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." Most people in Fiji, they're religious. They've been taught good works. They've been taught the tradition of men. They've been taught infant baptism. They've been taught baptism saves you. But what does the Bible tell us in 1 Peter 1:19? "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Look at Romans chapter number 10, if you would, quickly. Romans chapter number 10. Is the word ignorance. Someone said it's only good news if it gets there on time. Once someone dies, that's it. It's only good news if it gets there on time. You go to the trauma center of a hospital or the emergency room of a hospital, how they know they only have so much time before they may lose the patient. And the doctor, whoever, has to walk out and tell the family, "We lost them." That's with us. We've only got so much time to our aunts, to our uncles, to our cousins, to our neighbors, to our grandmothers, for they're gone. For all eternity. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Verse 3. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, or going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves into the righteousness of God." In verse 14, "How then shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" What's your desire? Paul says his prayer is that Israel might be saved. Amen? His prayer, his heart's desire. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you thought about eternity? We don't. This is what my planner says and I'm doing today. This is what my calendar says I'm doing in 2 weeks. But what about eternity? You see, what's valuable to God should be valuable to us. What's important to God should be important to us. But oftentimes we're carried away with the tradition of men. Or we can come and sit in a pew, we can hold our Bible, but our hearts and our minds are far away from God. How shall they hear without a preacher? We say, "Hear my Lord, send him. Hear my Lord, use her." But God wants you. God wants me. It was this verse that God used in my life for me to surrender to be a missionary. I was in Bible college and I said, "Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do except be a missionary." Don't want to do that. But how shall they hear without a preacher? My wife led a lady to the Lord. Her name was Christina, Chinese lady to the Lord. Been in Fiji maybe about a year or two from China. My wife led her to the Lord. 3 months later, she died. And I've often told my wife, I said, "What if we didn't go?" It's very possible that she would have died and gone to hell. I mean, I'm not saying that to toot my own horn. I'm just saying that that's a reality. You go to Fiji, a place of many churches, but very few preach the gospel. Ignorance. Then I think of this next one, number 7, this temporary. Are you living for the temporary today, or are you living for the eternal? I love football, but football's not eternal. I love playing with my kids. I love, you know, tackling my boys. One day they're going to be able to run faster than me, probably. But we were at a church last Sunday night, and we met this lady who came late at the end of the service, or a couple Sunday nights ago. And she said, sorry, we missed the service. The local high school had a football banquet tonight, so we didn't come. I wanted to say, really? You encourage your son to play football, and so he misses church. Do you really think your son's going to live for God? My wife and I went to church one Sunday, and this man and son showed up to church, and he had a baseball uniform on. He said, the only reason we came to church today is because of the rain. They canceled the game. You see, God doesn't want us to live for the temporary. He wants us to live for the eternal. Matthew chapter number 6, lay up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Amen? So there are two things that last forever, the word of God and souls. That's it. Then number 8, I'm done. How about you? How about you? Where will you spend eternity? If you died today, where would you be for all eternity? If you're saved today, thank God for it. Amen? And the second question is, are you living for eternity? Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things what? Above. Set your affection, set your mind, set your heart on things above and not on things on the earth. What did the Apostle Paul say when he had just seen the Lord on the road to Damascus? He says in Acts chapter 9, verse 6, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Jim Elliot, the missionary to Ecuador, who was killed. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep, so gain that which he cannot lose. You know what my biggest enemy today is? Myself. Myself. I am crucified with Christ, never live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The last night before we came back in June, William, the Muslim man who got saved, got up in our evening Bible study time. He gave a testimony and about ripped my heart out. His words weren't fancy. His words weren't well planned. But he just said, I'm so glad you came to tell us the good news of salvation. He said, the Lord has changed our hearts. He's changed our lives. He says, I know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Amen. And my wife was with the kids, and I said, you know, I wish I had recorded that. I said, hurricanes, health problems, discouragement, forget it all. Because I know that there are people that are saved, and they have hope. If you walked up to him today, and he hasn't been saved at all, and you said to him, I'll pay you $1 million to give up your Christianity and never go back to church, I don't think he'd take it. Because he believes and knows in his heart he's got something better. Much better. And you know what? I've never forced any of those people to live for God. They've done it on their own. Because I've always said, salvation brings change. Amen? Salvation brings change. And you folks, because you've helped us, are a part of that. And one day, when we're with the Lord, say, hey, you guys come over here and I'm going to introduce you to some folks. Isn't that going to be worth it? That's better than winning the lottery. That's better than all the money in the world. That's better than everything else. It's all going to pass away. We serve a great God, and we have a lot to be thankful for.